Welcome back to A People's Guide to Publishing. I'm Joe Beal, the founder and CEO of Microcosm Publishing and Distribution. I'm also the author of A People's Guide to Publishing, which distills what I've learned from selling millions of books over the past 25 years.
I'm Ellie Blue. I'm the editorial and marketing director here at Microcosm. We are an independent midlist publisher based in Portland, Oregon. We have 14 employees, over 650 titles in print with 20 to 40 new books per year, and we distribute thousands of titles from other publishers.
We started this podcast so that we can share what we've learned with newer publishers so that you can learn from our mistakes.
Or maybe you just want to understand the publishing industry.
This week, we are going to talk about when an author's first draft is not awesome.
So this is the nature of first drafts. When we get a first draft in, it's actually good if it's rough, because let me tell you, a lot of authors are not willing to share their rough draft even with an editor. Mm-hmm. I get so many people emailing me and being like, I just need to copy edit it and then I'll share it with you. And I'm like, no, because you know, you want as an editor to be able to shape the book from as near the start as you can, so that it can be, you know, the book that you agreed on and the book that is going to be the best fit for your publishing company. An author sharing a rough draft with you is awesome, great sign of trust, but the only problem is when they don't know that it's rough or they're not willing to hear that it's still rough.
Yeah.
And that is, yeah, that's bad. That's actually one of our admissions, or one of our acquisitions red flags.
Mm-hmm. Where 50% of the time, give or take, submissions include the very dubious claim, book is ready to go, has been edited, just needs to go to print. And that means that the author is perceiving us as an ATM machine with book distribution, which automatically means that the book is going to fail because they don't perceive it as a creative partnership with Microcosm.
It also means they're very unlikely to be willing to work with our editorial team to make the book, to improve the book, or to change the
book. Well, they don't need to. It's done. It's perfect. Why would you fix perfect?
So I guess, like, yeah, the problem we're talking about here is more like you've acquired the book, the author has agreed to work with you editorially, but then when they turn in their draft, they're like, it's done, it just needs a copy edit, it's ready to go.
They're attached.
They're really attached, and it almost never is, and sometimes it's really rough. Like, sometimes you've got, like, you know, whole parts of the book that are missing, like it doesn't have a conclusion, or they've kind of failed to examine the most important thesis, the most important points of the book. Other times, it's more of like sort of a line editing situation where you're like, these paragraphs are all written backwards and in reverse order, and you need to like clean up your language a little bit for sensitivity's sake. And you know, there's all sorts of things that you can need to be wrong. So yeah, so how do you like have that conversation with the author is often a very delicate question.
Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of it too is, we get a lot of submissions where it's finished, quote unquote, and you know, you go back and you say, well, you didn't explain these like very basic premises, and you didn't really introduce the reader into why they would care about this subject, or you didn't really explain the fundamentals of your subject matter. And then the author comes right back a little quippy and they're like, well, I thought your audience would know who this obscure band is, or they would fully understand the style of gardening already. And you're like,
yeah.
All right, but like, do you want to exclude 90% of your readership on purpose? Like, maybe you do, but we don't, you know? Like, we would ideally have it be that anybody that wants to read the book can at least interpret the book.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, we get that a lot with people who are sort of very embroiled in academia, as often they're very attached to their academic way of writing, which is, you know, perfectly acceptable and even what they have to do to get ahead in that world, but does not help anyone else read their book or understand their words. We've also had issues where people will kind of like exclude us from having any input until they feel that the book is done, and whether that's about ego or nervousness or just like not wanting to share. And that's where we get cases where, like, somebody pitches us a how-to book and what they turn in is a memoir. Or
I had it even better where someone pitched us a workbook and they delivered a memoir. I felt like that was, like, a famous first where I was like, well, you can have like maybe a paragraph of that in each section, but you delivered 60,000 words of that. How long did you picture the workbook being?
And these are like really tough conversations because this can be a relationship ending situation, you know, like if the person isn't willing to budge and isn't willing to go back and do more work on their work and radically rethink it in cooperation, then sometimes you just have to cancel the contract, like, which sucks. Mm-hmm. And it's never what ever what we want to do. But to prevent it from coming to that, we've had to study a lot of negotiation skills, a lot of sort of, I don't know, you have to like use your full array of boundaries, negotiation, empathy, all of those skills. And a lot of the time, it's a matter of just reminding the person that you do have a shared goal, and that goal is to like help the reader. It's not to like have the book be what we want or have the book be what the author wants. It's to have the book be what the reader needs. Mm-hmm. And by far that is, I found that to be the most compelling way forward for everybody. Yeah. You know, I mean, some people just don't want to do it.
Yeah. But they'll be clear about that at least, you know.
Most of the time.
And that's a fascinating one too, where I wonder often if they believe that we will just see the finished memoir and we'll just be so blown away that the rules and everything that we've said and agreed upon prior to that moment is just, like, negated by the awesomeness of the writing or whatever. But that it's, you know, and that just comes down to the fact that, like, if it's a kind of book that we can't sell, then it's a kind of book we can't sell, and no amount of awesome will repair that or change that.
Yeah.
And similarly, you know, we have, you know, people will often accuse us of being unsupportive, you know, when they deliver a book that is not what was agreed upon. And, you know, and you're, you know, and they will argue that this is what needs to happen to, like, advance the narrative. And you're like, yeah, but you need to bring somebody into that narrative to know that it's happening. Otherwise, you're really talking to 20 people, you know, and that can, you can make that about any subject imaginable, believe it or not. And it has happened to us.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it is, I mean, I guess it is that the beauty of the negotiation to just be like, look, like, you're going to do what we agree to do or we can't do it together, you know? Like, this is kind of how it is, and there's not really much budge in that.
And it doesn't have to be, like, a fight, I've learned the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you know, I mean, the most recent time I've had this negotiation was with an author I'm friends with and I love to death, and she had just kind of, like, writing a book is so hard and so isolating, and she had just kind of gone off in the way that made sense to her through the process of writing, and bringing it back was a lot of work, which she, I mean, to her credit, she did not complain. She put it in and did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we've started trying to forestall this kind of situation, or at least reduce the number of times it happens, by having sort of an onboarding call with authors when we first sign the contract, where we explicitly set expectations about like what the editorial process will look like, about what the cover process will look like, i.e., you know, they get input, but they do not get to choose what the publicity process and marketing, what we do to market the books, you know, all the kinds of things that authors maybe don't see happening on our end, and like kind of sharing our perspective and sharing that, you know, we like them are in it for the readers.
Yeah, hopefully.
And kind of trying to set that at the very beginning so that nobody gets carried away.
Yeah. And similarly, you know, it's really the sooner you can get a copy of an early draft, the more you can help direct it and frame it. And, you know, we've really brought that all the way back to the acquisitions process, where we now say, like, write the introductory paragraph for each section in your book and make that what you show us first. And that's what we're accepting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that compellingly, then you can write a book, you know?
Sometimes that's the hardest part.
Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, but it shows that they've put in the time and the thought, and they aren't, I mean, that has reduced the number of submissions that we receive, but that's good.
Yeah. And then, know? Like, if it turns out it's not right for us, then the person is actually in better shape than before they pitched us, because they have more of an outline, they know more about their book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of times I will give authors, you know, free help and, you know, how to develop it and where to go and like why we aren't a great choice for them, you know, because ultimately, you know, I know that that's difficult and expensive, and the things, the hoops they're expected to jump through to get a book published are not reasonable, so the more I can help that along, the better.
My final word of advice is when you are in a situation like this where an author has turned in their book, they think it's done, you know it's not, have that conversation on the phone to start with. Because that is a big email to get, and you don't know what kind of situation you're sending that email into.
Until next week.
Thanks for joining us once again.
Please send your questions to podcast@microcosmpublishing.com so we can answer them on future episodes.
And please give us 5 stars on iTunes and everywhere else that podcasts are reviewed.
You can find us on the internet at microcosm.pub.
On Twitter at microcosm.
On Facebook at microcosm publishing.
On Instagram at microcosm_pub.
And here in Portland, Oregon on North Williams Avenue.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful week.